dust it off, break it out. It's a great read. And I've been looking at it again as I prepared my messages. Always good to draw close to God and try and seek to get to know God the better. So J.I. Packer, in this book entitled Knowing God, has a title chapter, titled Wrath of God. Wrath of God. And in that chapter, he says, to an age which has unashamedly sold itself to the gods of greed, pride, sex, and self-will, the church mumbles on about God's kindness, but says nothing about his judgment. Furthermore, there are those who soft-pedal God's wrath and judgment, saying that in the New Testament, this theme fades into the background and is no longer an emphasis because grace has become the major player. On the contrary, Packer says, the entire New Testament is overshadowed by the certainty of a coming day of universal judgment and how sinners should get right with God while there is yet time. We truly cannot worship God without fearing God and understanding His wrath and His judgment against sin. Psalm 33, our text this morning, begins with a couple of the first five verses actually, speaking to us about praising God and singing joyfully before Him. But at verse 8 and at verse 18, we see words of fear, to come before the Lord with fear and be fearful of the Lord. So I want to read those ensuing verses as I read verses 1 through 7 as the call to worship this morning. I want to continue reading the psalm at verse 8 down to verse 18. It says there, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purpose of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven and earth, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse in vain is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His unfailing love. Let's look at this Psalm 33, verse 8 through 18, in way of understanding that fear of the Lord is a theme to this topic of this whole psalm, is understanding that we ought to fear the Lord then. And what does really fearing the Lord actually mean? When I was a youngster, growing up in Cold Lake, Alberta, right next door to me was a neighbor that had a big German shepherd. And this big German shepherd was chained with a very heavy chain in the backyard. And there was a fence around the backyard as well. But every time you walk by that chained up dog and that fenced area, this dog would go berserk. He would start barking like crazy and trying to get at you. And to tell you the truth, I was quite fearful of the dog. I gave him a wide berth anytime that I wanted to go in that direction of my neighbor's house. But one day I got it in my head that I was not going to be fearful of that dog. I was going to show that dog who was boss. So as a youngster, I went up to the fence, and I put my face up against the edge of the fence to look over to see the dog. And sure enough, when that dog saw me, he came running and barking viciously towards me. And I didn't take into account just how far the chain kind of went. And the dog kind of leapt in the air at me. And my face was right over the fence. And the dog's paws scratched both sides of my face. And that was his... And I was bloody for quite a while afterwards, but, you know, I went home and put some water on my face and tried to clean myself up. But that experience was a very fearful and terrifying experience as a youngster. I felt like afterwards, like, can I trust any dogs afterwards? Of course, at our house, we had a little dash hound, and she was very cute. We named her Marnie. And so we've had dogs at our house, but not a great big German Shepherd like I had being pawed by. So we still love dogs. But does fearing God mean he's like a cosmic grouch or somebody that's going to attack us, or we step out of line and then all of a sudden God comes and brings a big hammer down on us? Is that the kind of fear we should have of God? I don't believe this is the fear that we should have of God. It's not being scared of Him. I believe, though, there's an understanding of fear that we need to have as Christians. We ought to respect God and to obey God. It means that we acknowledge Him to be our Creator, and that He has a right to speak into our lives and to command us to do things, and that we ought to obey. It means also that we ought to reverence Him. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, we read these words. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Moses chose leaders on the basis that they feared God and wouldn't take bribes. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 talks about that. And God gave a terrifying display of His awesome power so that people wouldn't sin in Exodus 20, verse 20. In the New Testament, fearing God comes up a couple of times too. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bring holiness to completion in the fear of God." Here, fearing God is connected to holiness. Fearing God means that we keep in line with His will and are kept from grave sins. It gives direction to our lives. Jesus states in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Himself talked about fearing God. Secondly, the fear of God needs to be taught. We see this in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Proverbs 15:33 says precisely the same thing. And then Psalm 111, verse 10, says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, actually talking about knowing God and the fear of the consequence of that. I read that to you. It says, if you fear for wisdom like you search, or if you seek for wisdom like you search for a hidden treasure, you're really after it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So there's a part where we need to be instructed in fearing God and knowing God. The knowledge of God is important for us in way of being able to respect God and to be able to acknowledge God in our lives. J.I. Packer again says that there's a different ways of knowing God. You can know a lot about God if you study theology, like a lot of people do, and read about history, read the Bible, the scriptures, and all that way we can know about God, and yet not really know God. He goes on to say that if we really do know God, there's four things that will be evident in our lives. Those four things he lists out, and I list them for you today. Those who know God have great energy for God. Secondly, those who know God have great thoughts of God. And those who know God have great boldness. And those who know God have great contentment in God. Learning the fear of God is not something on the surface, but it's much deeper in our lives. It comes in the school of prayer and the experience of God's faithfulness in our lives. When we go through hardships and difficulties in our lives, finding that God meets us in those times of crises. Believing God's love, even despite those difficulties and crises. This is how we truly learn the fear of the Lord. Thirdly, fear of God is a blessing. How is that a blessing? Many people still misinterpret the fear of God as something negative in their lives. They think if they fear God, then God, there's got to be something wrong here. I have to hide something, or God's going to judge me. We see that God's authority and sovereignty are constraining and detrimental to our happiness in this sense of negative view of God. But that's just the opposite is the reality. Just the opposite is the reality. The world is full of the wasting disease of absurdity. The life is seen as just a bad joke, that there's no meaning or purpose in life, because we come into life in a sense of believing evolution, that we come in by chance, and we come out of some kind of ooze that put us out in the DNA upon the earth, and generally we evolved out of our own kind of volition and own abilities, and somehow humanity came into being. And then there's no hope and way of a future and eternity. So everything is random. That's the absurdity of how people live today. They live meaninglessly. They live without purpose other than their own pleasure and going after what they desire in way of being a success and what they determine that success to be. And really, that is an absurd life to live. Yet, with God, there is so much more. If we indeed believe that God has created us and that we can move in dynamic relationship with God, life takes on a beautiful sense of meaning and purpose as we seek to honor Him and love Him. And He in kind loves us, and we understand that. There's great value in that. It spurs our imagination to wonder at the future that we have in following through after death and becoming in our relationship with God with all the heavenly hosts and all those that have gone before. what amazing future that we have, knowing that God takes concern over even the smallest thing in our lives. He says even the cup of cold water offered in His name will not lack reward. He sees our hours and our days and our minutes that we live before Him. His eye is upon us. His attention is upon us. And so in that sense, we have a great hope and a glorious freedom in our relationship with God that the people of the world do not have. God alone is worthy because He is awesome and so far above us. It will take an eternity to truly know Him, will it not? To know God is to know the one that has created the universe. He gives life meaning and the purpose and spurs us to a great passion and way of our lives. Fourthly, the difference between believers and non-believers when it comes to judgment and fearing God. The believer fears God on the basis of the rock-solid relationship he has with God. It's like putting your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters and calmed the seas. That's from a Canadian band, Ocean, their debut album, 1971. Putting your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the oceans, calmed the seas. This is the one who we know and we live for. And we live with. It's a secure fear, a lost and wonder fear, a peaceful fear. If for all those that don't believe, fears come because of the judgment of God and the future of eternal punishment and the separation from God. Fifthly, how do we worship in fear of the Lord? Four things. First of all, we worship in the fear by not doubting, but in confidence and assurance of our status as God's children. Not doubting, but in confidence and assurance in our status as God's children. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who have received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Secondly, we worship in fear by recognizing God's character and His power. We are created as mere men and women, and God is God. Psalm 33, verse 6 and 7 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts and the breath of His mouth." Verse 7, "He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses," recognizing the mighty power and character of God. Thirdly, we worship in fear by recognizing the holiness of God. Psalm 33, verse 21, it says there, "In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name." The reason we hate sin and draw back from sin is because we want to get closer to God who is holy. Because of God's holiness, we desire to worship Him in holiness. And fourthly, we worship in fear by the gratitude we give towards God. Thankfulness and joy comes to our lives because of all that we experience and all that we have because of God's blessings in our lives. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29 says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Joy flows from thankfulness and counting ourselves so blessed. Psalm 33, again, verse 1 through 3 says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting to the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp, with make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Because we revere Him, because we fear Him. And in closing, I want to read the last few verses of this psalm, Psalm 33 at verse 19 to 22 to you. It says, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Ah, to worship and to fear the Lord God this morning. May He enrapture your souls and your hearts this morning as we continue to sing in worship and we reminded of these four markers this morning on how to fear God. Let's stand together as our worship team again leads us this morning in song. conviction upon your hearts this morning. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to call Larry Savage to come up for us today and give us a little bit of a report regarding our finances. He sits on our elders board and has been chairing the elders board in the last little while. And we just so appreciate him and all the work that he does. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Pastor Larry. Yeah, I just have a quick update on our financial performance for 2017. And happy to report, praise the Lord, that we were able to end the year with a significant surplus. And once again, December was a phenomenal month for giving, as it has been in the last number of years here at Westwood. So that seems to be the trend. I don't know if it's because people want to give more so they can get a bigger income tax deduction or what, but whatever it is, praise the Lord. So here's a chart of our total income received for all the four funds that we have, our general fund, of course, being the biggest. And you can see the various figures there. The next slide, please. And this is where we disperse these funds into those same funds. And the overall net of our income versus our disbursements is this. So we had a $95,000 surplus in our general fund, $9,000 in missions, $49,000 in building, and $30,000 in benevolent. And to actually show you figures, you can put it this way, our total income. Can you imagine we received over $1 million this year? And our expenses, so we had a net of $184,000. And the next slide, as I said, the general fund is the largest fund that we have for income and disbursements. And so I just wanted to show you basically the percentage of how we spent these funds into what various categories. And as you can see, staff, which includes salaries, benefits, all the other fringe benefits that go along with that, retreats, conferences, and whatnot, 74% of what we spent went towards the general fund in staff. Followed by the next two biggest, which is children at 4%, and repairs and maintenance for the building, 4%. And the next two largest, or three largest, would be 3% would be, what do I have here? Yeah, the district operating budget that we have to contribute to, and our utilities and office expenses. And all the rest were, well, as you can see there. Next slide. And here's a summary of our Syrian refugee account. You can see we opened the year with $65,776. And then throughout the year, we received two givings in March and August. And then our expenses for the rest of the year. And so we then closed with $93,000. So those funds will be used for receiving our next two Syrian families whenever that happens. Hopefully, one couple will be coming soon. And next slide. And here's a summary of our building loan. We opened the year with $789,000 that we owe district. So when you add the interest that's charged and versus what payments we made, our balance now, as at the 1st of January this year, is down to 688. And I believe from that we're paying down another 60,000 from our surplus. And the next slide. So I just want to make another plug and mention about our international workers, Joe and Cora. They'll be leaving for the mission field near the end of March. And as their home church, we're obliged and committed to supporting them. So we would like to extend that to you all as well. And hopefully you can share in that commitment personally. You know, Scripture commands us in Matthew 28:19 to go and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, some of you can't do that. So if you can't do it physically, you can do it through others, from missionaries who have gone or missionaries who will be going, like Joe and Cora. So if any of you feel led to do that, there's how you can do it. You can just mark your envelopes, Joe and Cora support, and the support then goes for their living expenses. Or you can designate it to Joe and Cora Work Special, and that fund money goes to their ministry expenses. And of course, all donations are tax receivable. So once again, I just want to thank you all, and please be in prayer for asking God how you can help supporting our missionaries, because we are a Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. Thank you.
We do so appreciate everyone with a focus towards giving, as giving is part of our worship as well. And you're aware that in the back of our auditorium here, we have offering boxes. And if you're lacking or can't find an envelope, I'm sure our front desk office staff could help you find an offering envelope. And on there, you'll see the different markers of those different funds that were talked about by Elder Larry Savage. So please do give regularly to the church and to the ministry that God has called us to. We are serving God here in a diligent form, in a diligent manner, all of our staff. And we thank you for coming alongside of us and supporting us as well. It's part of the ministry that we can have here. We'll be able to move so much further in the years ahead as we continue to honor God with our offerings towards Him. So thank you again for all that you do in giving towards God. Also, in the bulletin here, you'll notice in regular happenings, I just want to point this out to you, that our prayer meeting time has changed from Wednesdays to Friday. So this coming Friday, we're going to be meeting at the church here for prayer, and we'll be meeting in the nursery area. So just want to make note of that for a change. And we'll be continuing on with our learning about outreach upstairs in the library. And I'm teaching or leading that. So we talk about evangelism and the importance of outreach. And this morning we're going to be talking about intimidation and how our culture and our world seems to intimidate us in way of talking about God. We really don't have a God culture out there. And so how do we overcome those kind of barriers when we are to be witnesses for His name? So God bless you as you go into your week. There is coffee being served next door. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today to worship God together. And may God bless you as you go. Please bow your head in silent prayer before being dismissed. And leave in a sense of God's power and God's love upon each one of you today. And continue to worship Him, not just in this morning, but all through the week. Amen.
Why?